Good morning. Welcome to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, this baptism of our Lord. We celebrate, we have an option today. We can either do the first Sunday after the Epiphany or the baptism of our Lord. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, the day when Jesus stepped into our baptism, was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. This is also traditionally sometime in this neck of the woods, so I think at least last year we did also celebrate this the same Sunday. This is Life Sunday. And something that I always try and emphasize is that being pro-life is more than being anti-death. Being pro-life means we celebrate life at all stages, of all people. And we're going to do some of that today, because how do we in the church celebrate life? Well, it's at the baptismal font. And so you're going to see in the bulletin a list of every child, and I wrote down the adult baptisms on my bulletin, all of the children who have been baptized in this congregation at this font in the past year. And after the prayers of the church, we have a very brief remembrance, commemoration of baptism. And so we, as pro-life Christians, we don't just speak against the use of death as an instrument or a tool. We also speak for, emphatically for, the gift of life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that you came to give us life, life to the full. We beg you, O Lord, that you would strengthen us as we continue to shout forth your message of life from this place and in our own lives. We pray this all for the sake of your holy, your precious name, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Oh, I do want to note, I'm alone. Vicar is in Hickman this morning, and Pastor Poppy is in Utah preaching for Pastor Mark Schlauman, a member of this congregation, his installation down in Tooele, I think is how you pronounce it, Utah. So we pray the Lord's blessings on both of their proclamation of the word this day. Order of worship this day, the Order of Matins, page 219, our opening hymn, 594. page 219. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer and hear our song. And to all we hear, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen.
Praise be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Together the words of our introit as printed on your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
the office hymn number 406. 3rd chapter. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it." The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the words of our gradual together.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen.
The epistle lesson comes from Paul's first letter to the Church of God in Corinth. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, our and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Grace, mercy, Peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon, this baptism of our Lord, is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the third chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew. Dear friends in Christ, Christ submits. He submits to his Father's will. In humility, he, the sinless one, will step into the waters of the Jordan and be baptized into the baptism of sinners. John would have stopped it. John didn't get it. But Jesus knows how vital this is. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. The God of the universe not only takes our flesh, but submits himself to our baptism. He makes himself like us in every way. He bears our human frame. And at the Jordan, the Father's voice declares that Jesus bears our sin. The sinless one submits to the baptism of sinners to proclaim to you, to me, to the entire world that this one is the sinner. In fact, the only sinner. The one who bears all sin. He places himself under your burden. The burden that can only mean death and hell. He does not exert his power. He does not refuse our sin and all that it will mean for him. No, in humility, he lays himself aside to fulfill all righteousness. And no one gets it. No one understands. Even John, even though he concedes, is completely confused. I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Yes, John. He must come to you. He who has all power and all might must become nothing. Lower than a slave. The Lord of the universe must submit to your baptism, John, because he must submit to your death. He was sent to submit to your hell. We don't understand, because we dwell in a world that only knows power. A world that despises the weak and lifts up the strong. We live in a world where humility is a sign of weakness, where the lowly are trampled on by those who are strong. The world declares that the lowly have no existence, that they can be exploited, abused, or even killed by those who are stronger than they are. By denying their existence, by using euphemisms and cold scientific terminology like fetus or product of conception, the lowly are marginalized. The propaganda makes it easier for us to destroy them. The unborn are hidden from our sight in the wombs of their mothers. The elderly are shunted away in nursing homes. Human trafficking and the exploitation of the poor occur far out of sight in quote-unquote bad neighborhoods and behind closed doors. And when the light occasionally shines on the plight of the lowly, few pay attention for very long. In the past year, over a dozen videos showed Planned Parenthood exploiting women and their unborn children, altering abortion procedures to get the organs they wanted. And while many did watch, most, including even our lawmakers, did not. Our media, our politicians will occasionally exert themselves to help the immigrant or the poor. But the same news programs that show us night after night the plight of refugees refuses to show us the inside of an abortion clinic. You see, it's much easier to trample on the lowly when we don't see them, when they are beneath our notice. You have been trained by the world you live in to think in terms of power, to praise those who can take care of themselves, and to look down upon, to despise those who can't. An elderly person in a nursing home bed, the unborn child in the womb, a young woman being exploited at a truck stop, a refugee in a new land, the homeless person on the street. They are all powerless. They cannot fend for themselves. They must depend upon others. And in the eyes of the world, they are thus worthless. They are nothing. Tyranny defines us. The tyranny of the born against the unborn. The tyranny of the young and healthy against the old and infirm. The tyranny of those who are something against those who are nothing. It is tragically ironic to hear our politicians say, as they've said many times here lately, that refusing refugees is, quote unquote, not who America is. I'll tell you what America is. America is a place where we have legalized the killing of the unborn, the most weak and vulnerable among us. If we can do that, what other tyranny or exploitation is then impossible for us? The world chooses those who can exalt themselves, those who have something to contribute to us or to the world as a whole. Power is the language of the world, and we've been all trained to speak it. We seek power, don't we? Even in little petty ways. And the thing about worldly power is that it is always gained at the expense of another. Our boast is in ourselves. Our own talents, our own accomplishments, what we have gained, when we have gained so much on our own, seemingly, it is easy to look down upon others who are less than us, or at least sit quietly by while they're exploited. Dear friends, this is not to be. Repent of your hardness of heart toward the poor and the lowly of every situation. Repent of your silence as they are abused. Repent of your trust in your own accomplishments, your boast in your own merits. You serve a God who cares nothing for worldly power, who rejected all earthly glory, who humbled himself unto death, even death upon a cross. You serve a God. You cling to a Savior who chose the downtrodden, those who had nothing to give him, those who are humbled in his almighty presence. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Christ lowered himself to exalt the lowly. He brought himself down to raise you up. In humility, he submitted to the baptism of sinners. And in humility, he submitted to the death and hell that sinners deserved, even though he had no sin. He submitted to John's baptism. He submitted to the death and the hell of the cross because he bore your sin, just as he bore the sin of the entire world. Every person, rich, poor, lowly, powerful. You see, you are not saved simply by being worldly, foolish, weak, or lowly, any more than you are saved by being worldly, wise, wealthy, strong, or powerful. The poor don't automatically receive God's eternal favor any more than the rich do. St. Paul tells the Corinthians, "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth." Now, some of them had worldly accomplishments. We even know them by name. But most did not. And the point that Paul is making is that every single one of them is the same before God. You see, it doesn't matter what your status is in life. Spiritually, before God, you are poor, foolish, weak and lowly. Yes, you are nothing. No matter what the title on your desk says, no matter how big of a check you can write, you are a beggar. You have nothing to offer God but your sin, filthy rags though they are. The Lord is not interested in our supposed good works. He doesn't care about our accomplishments. He wants to humble us through His law. He wants you to see that you have nothing that can impress Him. The poor man cannot boast in his poverty any more than the rich man can boast in his wealth. Both are completely and utterly foolish, weak, lowly, and despised. But in your abject spiritual poverty, God chose you. Because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. God chose you. He chose you when you were nothing, when you were poor and miserable under your sin. He chose you in Christ, the one who humbly submitted to the baptism of sinners, who made himself lower than you, humbling himself even to death upon a cross. He came not to be served, but to serve. To serve you with salvation. To exalt you even to the very throne of heaven. In Christ, you are no longer nothing. You have everything. He is your wisdom. The wisdom of the cross that is foolishness to the world. He is your righteousness. He fulfilled all righteousness through His death and resurrection in your place. He is your sanctification. He makes you holy by cleansing you from your sin. And He is your redemption. He paid the price you could never pay. He took your sin and placed it upon Himself. When God's voice thundered forth at the day of His baptism, it was declaring that this one, standing in the baptism of sinners, is the sin bearer the one appointed to take all sin upon himself and bear it to the cross. You had nothing to give him but your sin. And he took it. And he died for it. And he forgives it. He forgives you. You are forgiven. No matter what darkness, what demons dwell in your past, no matter what you have done, here this day, you are forgiven. Your boast is in Christ. You do not boast before Christ, for you have nothing of yourself to boast in. You boast in Christ. You boast in His love. You boast in His mercy. You boast in His grace, shown to you when you were nothing. Whether you are poor or rich, weak or strong, lowly or exalted in the eyes of this world, all of that is rubbish next to knowing Jesus Christ, your Savior. Therefore, we come before Him this day and every day as children, as infants. Every baptism is thus like an infant baptism. See, nothing is more vulnerable. Nothing is more weak and helpless than an infant. An infant cannot give, can only receive. And that is how we come to the font. That is how we come to this place, weak and helpless, as spiritual infants, as beggars, with nothing to give, but everything, absolutely everything to receive. We come humbled by our sin, knowing who we are, that we are foolish, weak, lowly, and despised in our sins. We come, and Christ exalts us. We come, and He gives us everything. Forgiveness, life, salvation. He gives all things, and He gives them freely to all. You see, for God, there is no distinction of persons between the poor and the rich, the weak or the powerful, the unborn or the born, the infirm or the healthy, the young or the elderly. All are alike His creation, made in His image. All are alike sinners in need of His salvation, and all are alike redeemed by the blood of His Son. He loves them all. He loves us all. And so we love them all, as He first loved us, showing to them the same mercy that He showed to us when He baptized us into His name. For on the day that you were baptized, the heavens were open to you, never to be shut again. On the day that you were baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon you, never to depart again. On the day that you were baptized, the Father said to you, "You are My beloved child. In you I am well pleased." In the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand for the Benedictus found on page 226. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you could please sign in and pass it along. If you're a guest or a visitor, we'd ask you to provide us with your contact information so that we can acknowledge your presence with us in worship this day. At this time also, we receive our gifts and our offerings. Prayer found on page 227, beginning with the Kyrie. In the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Gracious Father, at the Jordan River you called Jesus your beloved Son, in whom you are well pleased. Assure us that because we in baptism have put on Christ, you also call us your beloved and are well pleased with us. Renew us as your baptismal children, so that we walk in newness of life, considering ourselves dead to sin and alive to you in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, look in mercy on all those who govern our nation and the nations around the world. Give them courage to defend the right and correct the wrong. Grant them hearts that care for those who are vulnerable, including the unborn, the aged, and all who are threatened. Defend those who serve in the armed forces and all who labor to keep us safe. Allow commerce and the arts to flourish in ways that benefit all people. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, at his baptism, your Son embraced all of humanity as he permitted himself to be baptized in the baptism of sinners. Work among us today. Heal our divisions. Protect those whose lives are threatened by abortion, embryonic stem cell research, assisted suicide, and misguided ideas about fetal care. Give skill and courage to those who serve in schools, hospitals, and social agencies. Help us to see all as evidence of your constant love. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, at his baptism, your Son voluntarily took upon himself all our frailties and the results of our sinfulness. Give your comfort to the family of Janet Schmeling and all who mourn. Extend your healing hand and comfort to Myrna, Josh, Lynn, Fritz and Faye, Bob and Mona, Carmen, Sam, Marlene, Steve, Diane, Chip, Janice, Disney, Max, Lori, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Nick, Vicky, Jared, Zoe, the Josh Tremblay family, Jocelyn, and Dawn, and to all who need your care and comfort. Assure them of your promise that even when your people walk through the fire, the flames will not consume them. Grant them faith to believe that they need not fear, for you are with them. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Word of God also teaches us that we are all conceived and born sinful, and under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. The Apostle Peter has declared, "Baptism now saves you." And this promise of salvation is for you and for your children. In baptism, God puts his name on us with the water and the word, so that there may be no doubt that we are surely his by all that Christ has won for us through his saving death and resurrection. In the past year, at this very font, Christ has cleansed with the washing and the word, called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and adopted into his Father's family Penelope, Emma, Liam, Ellie, Blair, Aubrey, Finley, Bennett, Marley, Zenjin, Madeline, Wesley, Fox, Jackson, Mary, Everett, Eric, Brinley, Braxton, Casmanirez, Lachlan, Brooklyn, Beau, and Austin. And also a few adults that were not listed: Desiree Kessler, Dee Novacek, Jack Novacek, Nolan Novacek, and Elena Novacek. Let us pray.
Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted these saints the new birth and holy baptism and have made them members of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that, as they have now become your children, you would keep them in their baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, they may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 601. 601. Welcome again to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. In the name of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who loves all life, for he created it, he died for it, and he saves it through the washing of the water and the word. A couple of announcements for today. Only one Bible study today, and it will be in the fellowship hall. We'll be doing the Lutherans for Life Bible study, which you have, I believe, an insert from Lutherans for Life, created, redeemed, called. And that's what the subject of our Bible study is going to be, and the kids for the Sunday school opening as well. I don't know that there's a ton of other announcements. Yes, next Sunday during Bible study, so the 17th, during Bible study, the Finance Committee will be making a presentation in the Fellowship Hall. So be aware of that and let people know about that. In preparation for the voters meeting coming up in a couple weeks. I see offering envelopes are still over there. I don't know that there's a ton more that needs to be announced. We're getting very close to the pancake feed. Very close to the pancake feed. I didn't realize how close we're getting. It's in just a few weeks here. So look forward to that. There are sign-up sheets on the back there, right next to the Lutherans for Life display. And this week we're back to our regular schedule as we were last. I think last week was our first time back at our regular Wednesday schedule. 5:30 Bible study, 6:30 service, 5:30 Bible study and confirmation, 6:30 service, 7:30 choir and Bible class. Lord be with you. as we celebrate, as we rejoice in the washing of the water with the Word. God's blessings.